Repair Dalit. Okay, Echa Yu'am Zahav. Okay, this is a Zahav is supposed to be shiny. Yu'am means it's become tarnished, and gold generally does not tarnish, so he's being cute, right? Much of the Beis HaMikdash is gold, right? So when the Babylonians came to trash Yerushalayim, they didn't just burn everything to the ground. First, they took everything of value. Right? It says in Tanakh, they took brass that could not be weighed. Right? No one could weigh the amount of brass they took. Gold was obviously the fewer things made of gold, but be that as it may, so Yom Zav means that the gold has been clouded. Yishne ha-kesem ha-tov. Kesem literally means a stain, but it's used in Tanakh to describe the different colors of gold. You know, there are a lot of different colors of gold. The Gemara says there are seven different types of gold that they used. You might remember in Yohannes Miros, Kesem Tahar Paz Demus Rasho. Paz is a type of gold also. Right. There's green gold, there's red gold, there's gold. Tishtapechna Avne Kodesh Barosh Kol Chutzos. We might even have, this is probably from Bais Sheni, but I'm sure you've seen the near Robinson's Arch. You can go further in, and you could see all those stones that were tossed down from the walls, right? Anyone?
Absolutely.
See, they found human bones in the middle of there. Absolutely. Right? You hear that? They found the people that were crushed in that, and it hasn't been moved in thousands of years. Okay?
There actually are some flecks of gold left on some of the pillars near the El Aqsa Mosque. You have to look very carefully, but you can see like some of the flecks are there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Netzion HaYikurim, what's the case? The Netzion HaYikurim Masula Imba Paz. Paz, remember I just mentioned that Kesem Tahar Paz. He's continuing. This is someone walking down the Great Concourse in, even in 1980, I lived there. And he's saying, it wasn't long ago. My goodness, it was 30 years ago. It's not, I'm not saying today. I'm saying someone walking down,
I'm seeing three churches in a row right off the Great Concourse. There used to be Schultz.
Yeah.
One next to the other.
Yeah, okay, so that's what he's talking about here, all these things. Echa nechshavu l'gnivlei cheres ma'asei yedei yotzer. How are these things once overlaid in gold? Now they're pottery. Gam tanim. You see, it says ksiv tanim. Right? Ksiv tanim is with a nun, but tanim is a different animal, actually. Okay. Now, usually the English translations just do T A N I M because I'm not sure what this thing is. But we know what a tanim is. A tanim is a crocodile, right? It's fascinating. Sajigon says that Tsvardeya is a crocodile. Right? But a tanim is usually translated as jackals. Right? Animals that you usually don't see near Yishuv, but also animals that have a reputation of being cruel. Okay? Gam tanim chotsu shad heniku gureyen. The simple shad is easy here. Shad is a breast. Chotsu means they reveal their breast in order to nurse their young. Iniku is from the word tinok, because a tinok is someone who nurses. Even they nurse their young. Basami la'achzor kaya'inim ba'midbar. My people have become cruel like hyenas yanim is an ostrich. It's more likely that that's what they. Right. Why is it does an ostrich have a reputation of being cruel? Because some ostriches eat their own eggs. Some animals eat their young. Right. So, I'm just saying is that the mothers, the parents had to become cruel. Had no more food for their children, so they watched their children die. Is that cruel? Of course, if they had food, they would give it. Remember, there's a story in the Bible about the beginning of the life of Beth, about two women who ate their children. Okay, Davak Lashon Yonek El Kiko Batsama, the tongue will cleave to the cheek or the cleft out of thirst to try to get any saliva even to swallow. Ololim Shalom Lechem Porei Sein Lechem. Young ones who are begging for bread, no one to give them. Horace is a poetic way of saying no saying in Lahem. Horace is what is to put out your hand, right? We call what the Kohanim do, Prisas Yadayim, because they're holding out their hand. Horace is usually with the hand this way. Now, because the Kohanim bless this, right? When you, what you need, you're holding your hand like that. Ha'ochlim lamadanim nosham bachutzos. People who used to eat dainty foods, Adanim, like Eden, noshamu bachutzos. They are just like shmama. The word shamayim actually comes from this, because the shamayim is not built up, so we're all desolate. Even in chutzos, even in public squares. Why is someone so hungry going to a public square? Maybe I'll find one person in the public who can give me something to eat. There's always said, we have so many images from the Holocaust and from the ghettos. The image of the children dying of starvation in the street, just people walking by. You know, so someone just collects them to a burial. There's no one to help them. Ha'umnim. Ha'emunim alei tola chipku ashbatos. People who were used to eating, to wearing, tola is purple or crimson. People who were used to eating, more like in crimson, because tola is a worm. They used to dye the very expensive garments with their blood. So ha'emunim alei tola, that's what Yeshayahu says in this week's Torah. If your sins are like tola, I'll make them white as snow. He doesn't say white as snow, he says white as wool. He says if your sins are like shanim, like scarlet, I'll make them snow. And if they're like tola, I'll make them like wool. There's a reason for Yeshayahu using those specific words. Anyway, so chibku ashvatot means they had to hug, chibku, to hug garbage. They had to search through garbage. See that here in our neighborhood every morning. You can see that. I don't think it's just rats going through the garbage. My people's sin became worse than the sins of Sodom. That's dangerous ground. The first person to do that was Yishayahu. It's the Saftar also. The big Haftar this week for Echa. Right? So the Gemara in Bracha says prophets shouldn't do that. Don't compare us to Sodom. There's some things you should never compare. Right? I say the same when people compare things to the Holocaust. No, the Holocaust with a capital H is incomparable. Nothing should be compared to that. Right? No one, no Jew, no non-Jew should ever compare anything to that. So what prophets who mention Sodom, I'll tell you this, Chazon HaMikra, Yisachar Yaakovson, on his treatment of Dvarim, of Torah Dvarim, because that's his elaboration of Dvarim. The prophets who use Sodom in their prophecies, the most famous is Yechezkel, his whole chapter on the behavior of Sodom. Amos mentions Sodom, Yishayahu mentions Sodom here, you have Echa mentioning Sodom. Very interesting thing, though, the prophet you want most is Yechezkel. He doesn't mention sexual deviations there. He mentions their social decay and social disorder. Okay. So, Vayidal Avon Basami Michatastom Hafucha Kimo Roga Velochalu Bayodayim. And Hafucha, that's what happened to Sodom. It's turned over. But the end of Purim is the opposite. You know, Hafucha. On Motzei Shabbos, in our prayers in B'Tilachot, we say it all. There's a whole section about using the word hafach. to turn our toil and our turmoil into, now that Shabbos is over, hopefully we'll have a blessing on it. The Shabbos will last us for the next week and turn things around for us. Sakun nizireha mishele, tzachu mecholav. Originally, our nizireha, good proof here that a nazir is not a sinner, otherwise he wouldn't have spoken this way. Well, this is saying nizireh, he should have said zakun tzadikeha or chasideha. I think he purposely uses the word nizireha because it has a zion in it. He wants this to be something alliterative because the pasuk begins with a zion. Zakun nizireha mishele, tzachu mecholav, you are white as snow. More clear, more white than the milk. But mu'etze mikdinim sapir is gizrasam. So he's mentioning the purity, the whiteness of the people who he's not mentioning anything about skin color here. He's talking about purity. Choshach mishchor ta'aram. You can say he's being racist here, right? So. Lo nikru bahutos sofad oram alatzmam b'beit sheyakeis. It's not what he's saying here. He's saying that the skin was blackened by the sun. They were paraded out in captivity into the sun, so their skin was black. The beginning of Shir HaShirim also refers to my skin has been blackened by the slavery in this hot sun that I was forced to endure. Okay. Tovim hayu chala lecherev mechala leraal, shahim yazubu midukarim mitzvot sadai. Better to be just killed right away by the sword than to have to die slowly of hunger. They were quickly killed by the stab, rather than have to endure the punishment of this the incredible pain of dying slowly of hunger. It's one of the keynotes on Tisha B'Av says this as its refrain. Even Rachmanios, when you put a nun after a word, it means someone who is constantly doing that. Right? A koes is someone who's angry. A kason is someone who's always angry. Rachman means that they were always had Rachmanos. The God is called Rachman. Right? Yet they boiled their children. So the varos is like a sudas havra, nashku bar until the war, lishpor bar, the Yosef story, or is food. Okay. Kilo Hashem es chamaso, shofach halon apo, vayatzes eish b'tzion, v'tochal yisod v'sech. As if though God had a certain amount of anger that he had to get out, and he kept taking more and more anger, still more anger, so he's still punishing more. Right? Have you ever medrash that says that it's actually a good thing? We could talk about this over Shabbos. It's a good thing that God destroyed the temple because his anger was at least waxed directed against objects, not against souls and people. Right? So shofach haron apo v'yatzas eish b'tzion v'tochal yisod v'sech. So the object of God's wrath at the end of this pasuk is nonetheless things in Tzion. Okay, lohem minimach eretz kol yoshvei tevel. People who heard about this from outside couldn't believe how quickly Yerushalayim fell. Could that happen so quickly? Ki avot tzar ba'oyev b'shari Yerushalayim. That the enemy was mamish up to the shar, they went up right up to the gates. Yirmiyahu told Tzidkiyahu, you're so sinful, you will see Nebuchadnezzar, eye to eye. You will see it. Usually, you're going to say to, Putin is trying to kill Zelensky, right? So he says that not only will Nebuchadnezzar have you killed, he will see you eye to eye. Now, in the end, Tzidkiyahu actually outlived Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't kill him, he just jailed him. Even Tzidkiyahu's nephew, who ruled before him, Yehoyachin, outlived Nebuchadnezzar. The last pasuk in Yirmiyahu describes how a future king of Babel, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, possibly his son, freed Yehoyachin after 37 years in jail and favored him. Mechatos nevi'eha avonos koaneha and shofkim b'kirpa dam tzadikim. Yirmiyahu is taking out his anger on the Nevi'im and the Kohanim. Remember, he was both. He was a Kohen and a Navi. And he said those Nevi'im and Kohanim did not do their job. They did not fulfill their mission of being spiritual leaders and of being religious leaders. They did not fulfill their job. Adrabba, it weakened you. Think of chapter 28 and 29 of Yirmiyahu, where false prophets convinced the people that Yirmiyahu was wrong, that there would be a Chorban, that there would be an exile, and that they were right, that this will all blow over within 2 years, it's all going to be fine. By 1935, you'll see, they'll be assassinated. Okay. I draw your attention to a book written by Jeff Blurock. You have heard of him, right?
He, in fact, led, if you recall.
Yes, sure. He toured. His in-laws were prominent members here. So he wrote a book imagining what could happen. I suspect that he is the best person who could answer this question. Of course, it's hypothetical. There's no way to know about what the world would be like in the year 2020 if Hitler was assassinated in 1935. And it's not a pretty picture. So that Stalin killed all the Jews in Russia, America is a hotbed of anti-Semitism, Europe is, there's no more Jews, but there's no place to go because there's also no Israel.
Could we burst the freedom?
Of course, but he's just saying that. But he uses the plans. I mean, Stalin had not been weakened by one. He died on Purim. He had planned to kill all the Jews remaining in Russia, just to take them to Siberia and drop them off. So, yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu has his plans, but I'm just saying that there is such a thing.
Right.
Because Nahu Ivrim Bechutzos Nigawalu Badam. This is probably figurative. There's blind people here who are, feeling out. He's talking about everybody being blind. Blind because we don't know what to do. Should we fight back? Should we accept? Yirmiyahu here, in this case, doesn't mean that that's always the case. But Yirmiyahu begged for surrender. Right? They go, Alu Badam, they have blood on their hands because they fought back. And Yirmiyahu begged them not to blow you, Yigubo, to shave you. They're not even able to remove the blood that spurts all over their garments. Suru tame karu lamo, suru suru al tigau, natsu gam nau, amu bagoyim lo yosifu lagur. It's always a very, very sad part of the laying is that people really know what this is about. They always cry when they see this pasuk. What is it talking about? Is that we have to contemplate now? This is like there are different stages of what someone goes through when he's told he has fifth stage cancer. It's he's saying that this is the realization of this pasuk as well, which we should stop here. Is that it's done? In other words, the exile, the kingdom, the temple. Everything. What was the thing that made Eli fall off his chair when he heard about what happened in Shiloh? That the ark was taken, right? You just heard your sons died. No, the ark was taken. Shiloh was destroyed. Everything I lived for, everything that 380 years of Kiluna, all exiled right now. My God. Okay, so we're going to continue next time with the letter K. And my intention is to finish off in good time. We have two more days, and we will do so. Okay? Let's get ready to meet. Okay, right there.
I guess Ailey probably already reconciled himself with kind of like the failure of his son.
Yes, yes. He knew from what Shmuel told him.
Otherwise,
he might have
been different. Okay.
He knew that that was already reconciled, yes. And then when he hears about the Aron, because that was not part of what Shmuel told him, right? When he told him his dream, his vision, that was a whole new concept. Okay, so we left sort of in the middle of something yesterday, right?
Are we having class tomorrow?
Grace. Thank you. Yeah, we might have to make up something. You know, we're allowed to learn both of these things on Tisha B'Av itself. So maybe what we'll do is on Tisha B'Av. We'll have Zoom. You got that, Dr. O'Han? We might have to finish up. My daughter is having a bris of her son tomorrow morning.
Is that tough? In Israel?
So won't be here in this show because her husband, the sister Rabbi Lincoln Square. So Glenn, I don't know if you can make it tomorrow for the press.
Yes, good. I'll be there at 7:30. Oh,
great, excellent, beautiful.
So which means we'll have a problem with the meeting because
we'll be there.
The meeting is at 7:30.
Yes, Joel will be the guy. Okay, we'll have it. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so we're right in the middle of the sugya, right, where they took Rav Elazar Modai to Bar Kokhba to ask him, what did they tell you? What did they whisper in your ear?
Mm-hmm.
And so his response was, if I tell you, the Romans will kill us. Will kill me. If I don't tell you, you'll kill me. I'd rather be killed by the Romans. I'm not telling you. So, now, in other words, I trust you won't kill me. Right? Hopefully. All right? Of course, Rabbi Elizabeth, they asked, what did you tell them? Did you give them information? Why would the Roman general come up to you and what do you have to tell them? Okay. So that was a part of the plan, is to make dissension from within. So Bar Kokhba ordered the death of Rabbi Elizabeth because of what the Kutim had done. Kutim caused the death of Rabbi Elizabeth. Internal strife.
I think it was more like Menachem Begin. He didn't want to fire back. He didn't want that blood. Kill him because he didn't want the blood on them. He'd rather have the blood on the Romans.
The Alpha Lena, you know, that's a famous story that they shot at him. Okay. So they took Rokoko to the Zakim. Miyad Yotzes Baskov Amram, Hoy Rogi Ha'elil Uzbe Hatsam, Cherabaz Roa Valayni Minamz Roa Yabush Tibosh. On the article's pagination, we're told at the top of that called Chesed of Aleph. So the heavenly voice came out and said, that's it, this rebellion is over. This rebellion is going to fail because you obviously don't have good judgment that you killed our Muslim. He's the one who kept you alive. You didn't realize it. Therefore, the strength of Bar Kokhba, now you should be called Bar Kuziba, shall dry out because you had Rav Elazar Modai killed. So, now, according to the Talmud Bavli, Rav Elazar Modai was Bar Kokhba's uncle. They were related. Okay. Right. So when Elizabeth didn't refuse to tell him what he told him, Bar Kokhba in his anger kicked him and killed him. So in the end of Sanhedrin, where it says they asked him to smell justice and he couldn't smell it. So I think that this Yerushalmi explains it further. Not that they would put a piece of paper in front of him with a court case and smell wounds without looking. No, he couldn't tell whether Rav Elazar Modai was actually a traitor or not. If he was revealing secrets, you know, look, they accused Yirmiyahu of being a traitor because he was begging them to surrender. They kept telling him, El HaKastim HaTano Fail. Giving them information about how to get to us because you want us to surrender. That's your personal agenda. Right? He tells them, I didn't tell them anything. Right? Right? So this is the breach in judgment. The Yad Milka de Beit Tav and Heron Rakhus, but Beit Tav was wiped out. A corporal was killed. Asuntinan Reshe Gabe Adrinus Amalun. Man Koto Hadein, Adrinus is Hadrian. Okay. This Kuti This is really the point of all those Agaditas in Perikah Nizokin, right? Tuamalka, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, all these stories in Perikah Nizokin about what caused the Chorban is that it was internal. It wasn't the one. It was internal. It's the Schinam and whatnot. Okay. The Kuti took credit for this. Explained to Hadrian, see, I'm responsible for you being able to quell this 3-year rebellion. Malechad Kusay and Anaka. And Hadrian asked, how did Bar Kokhba fall? He said, I killed him. Amalei hameli p'tumei, hameli p'tumei ashkach p'tina p'richa aboi. So the Kuti took credit, and the snake covered his body. The snake wrapped itself around this Kuti. And Hadrian saw this as an omen. Amalei lei elohot katlei man haya yochal katlei. He took it as an omen that it was because he Bar Kokhba ran afoul of God. It's hard to imagine that Hadrian knew this pasuk. He said that this could never have happened if they not run afoul of their God. Now, Hadrian did have a relative who converted to Judaism, according to a Gemara in the Sechs of Ozara. Ungulus. No, Ungulus was Hadrian's nephew, according to the Gemara. So Hadrian kept on sending people for him to come home. He's crazy, you become a Jew. And Hadrian kept on converting the people that he sent to Rebbe. Okay, but you Horgan, but in a lot of exaggerations now about the amount of blood and the amount of death. We Horgan by him, but Okan on Sheshoka Asus Bedam on Chotmo. That means that, you know, that one thing to say that there was blood on the ground, but the blood came up to the horse's mouth, right? And that blood ripped up stones of our bo'im saw, which is a ton. The blood ripped them up from the ground and carried them 4 miles, 4 kilometers. To the Mediterranean. In Tamashi, Krovali Am Balam Chokamini. Wait a second, the Mediterranean is much further than 4 kilometers from Beitar, it's 40 kilometers from Beitar. Amushloshmeos Mochi Tinokos Matsu Alernachas. They found 300 brains of babies on one stone that was smashed by obviously, read between this means they had no, they were killing men, women, children, babies. And they found many containers of tefillin in the people that were killed. A third of that amount, but this is a lot. Tani Rabbi Shimon Leilomer, 500 houses of Sofrim. Sofrim can be the scribes, but also at that time Sofrim were people who Talmidei Chachamim also counted things. Who had been Beta, the Yushin says. Sofrim can be like Ezra was a Sofer Mahir. So it means that there were 500 houses of study. And the smallest of those 500 had no less than 500 children studying it. Man, it is too exaggerations. The Grand Concourse used to be before, when you were looking at it destroyed. And they said they had the stylus that was pointed at the end for the ink. And they said, if they come, we'll kill them with our pens. What does that mean? It means the pen is mightier than the sword, you know. We write Torahs, we write tefillin, we write mezuzahs with these pens. Hashem will protect us. And when all these sins took place and we had no more protection, so they took each one of them with their sefer and burnt them. Remember the story of Hanina ben Tradyan that we're going to read about on Tisha B'Av. They wrapped the Torah around and we do that in the Kibbutz. Nukulam lo nishtayer ela ani bekara al garmeh. Right? And describe that there's only one person who was alive who saw those things. Right? They thought they had such great numbers, they could defend themselves, even with riding armaments. But due to the chayit, they wrapped each child in a scroll and burnt him. Only Rabbi Shimon Gamliel remained alive. Eich Rabba also. In fact, he says from Eich Gimel, Ini Ol Lola Nafshimi Kol Benam Siri. I had to see this myself as a child. Okay, so this implies that Rav Shimon Gamliel was a schoolboy at the time of the Hadrian revolts.
Mm-hmm.
We know he was much older. Baba Kama, the Gimel, the end of Sota. He applied the pasuk himself there because of the murder of so many children, not because he was a child, the only one that survived. Karen Gadol Hayola Andrianus, Harasha, Shmona Samiel, Shmona Samiel. He means very litzipar, the Kifu Gedder, and Haruki Pedesar, the low coma, the Pishu Jedai, the low Gazar of the Hemshik, the Ru, Achamad Melach Afer, the Gazar of the Hemshik. The famous story is that just the exaggeration of the corpses that took up 18 times 18 square kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they were not given to burial, and that their bodies were forced to lay strewn out in the field for months, is mentioned in other
documents.
So what it means is that they were not given to Kfura. In the seventh parak of the Maseches Brachos, very famously, the Gemara says that it was a miracle that they did not decompose in the heat. Remember, this is the summertime. Beitar was a Tisha B'Av, it was the summer. And that they were finally given to burial shortly afterwards. And because of this, they added the last bracha of the benching, a Tova Meitiv, into the benching. Okay? It's the door outside.
The last
bracha of benching. Bracha Toshim, okay, Nakhalam, Makhalam, Makhin, Wadirain, Parain. Walayim, Tzvein, Kibushim, Kibushim, Shakov, Nisra, Makhatov, Meitiv. Right. So they added that bracha to the mention out of the consideration that they were still finally getting permission to get on. So they finally were able to. When the king dies, his decrees die with him. That's what I just said. They added this bracha. Tov shalom nirsuchu. A katov that they didn't. They were finally given to burial. I've gone to funerals with Holocaust survivors who say, "Oh, finally we can bury a person in a known place." You know, because all my brothers and sisters, I don't know where they're buried. They're just their ashes. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, 52 shana asa beta la'achar korban beis hamikdash. The rebellion of Beta was 52 years after the korban. Now, that's perhaps a little off. Korban was in the year 68, not 70, but 68. And we have in history that the Beitar fell in the year 135. So it's a little more than 52 is because of the Gematria. Why did Beitar come to such a terrible disaster? Right? So because they lit candles at the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. In other words, Beitar, the people of Beitar were happy with the fall of Jerusalem. The Gemara has to figure out, what would happen? Havanam Relay begin to shmain and alach, the Atboy and the Abdo are Kontas, Ubon Bhutas, Luamar Long Lace Bidati. Okay, so when Mara tells a bizarre story, right, that describes the terrible corruption of the day. And they were lit candles, perhaps figuratively, to shed light on this corruption. I think that that's what it means. They shed light on the corruption, and that's why corruption is so terrible in Beit Har. Do you want a civic leader? When someone wanted to sell a property, right, they would ask someone. It would be a central place that would take for records to sell your property, but it was false. They made false deeds and false testimony. Okay, so this is all about the these are the officials who made these false deeds, and people were just bereft of their properties. And the lighting of candles is shedding light on it. I think that you have to see these all deeper meanings of these things. Because it's inconceivable that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of a chicken, because of an invitation to a wedding or something like that. You know, these reveal much deeper meanings about why these things took place. Okay. Right, so the people of Beit Har felt themselves to be greater than the people of Yerushalayim. Right. Pasuk is darshan about the way they felt. So as if though they had simcha before Yerushalayim. It's a really bizarre story. So the more bizarre these stories are, the more that you really sometimes have to read into them about what was going on. B'dil d'shmeinin alach, da'at bo'i m'zavna usayim, t'ilech, v'ruha marlon leiz b'dati. When it could become to collect his deed, to figure out what happened to my property. It's sort of like what you hear on the radio today about the property theft. Someone sold your house. And the other day, they steal your identity and they sold your house, and you just found out. You're living these things. Right? My house was sold. I'm living here. Yeah, and you owe your mortgage still. Right? So that's about what this is. It's identity theft. Mat bayim in dein kasuva anava hasam v'haksiyav chavrei hasam. When a person would try to effect some kind of satisfaction for what happened, he would learn that his house was sold. Okay. When they heard that this is what's going on here. Amar halavai itbar riglei dehagavra below salat in Yerushalayim. These people would go to Yerushalayim where all the full records of the whole country are kept, and they would say, halavai, people shouldn't go up to Yerushalayim if this is what they're doing. So again, you have to really read through this corruption that led to this. Adon dirsiv, sadut, sadeinu, makas, v'chob osein. Right, this is a pasuk in Eicha, Perek Dalet, just after what we did. We're going to see this pasuk tomorrow. Okay, we stopped two pasukim before this pasuk. Okay. Today, we'll finish it. Okay, so they said the steps that these people took in the corruption on the way to Yerushalayim is why this happened to us. So do tzadeinu on tzadei or chasei tahavu ba'isav. Because of the steps they took in selling my house. Karav kitzeinu, karav kitzeha, dahu besa. What came close to being put to an end, as the pasuk continues to say, Molu yomeinu, kibok kitzeinu, our end came because of these terrible corrupt things that were going on. Uf inu no nafkun tava'os sumach le'ed lo yinakeh. Nonetheless, even though they had reason to be angry with this corruption, but to be happy with the downfall of someone else, you still suffer for it. Shnei achim havin b'chfar chareva. Two brothers. You holding? You holding? Shnei achim. They're two brothers. B'chfar chareva. It's the name of a place. And they led troops to help defeat the Romans. Bafin Romi Mazli Malayan Makatman Lam Ramin Kosama Demilsa Nasi Klila Avershayam. Right? They felt that the way to defeat them was to put crowns on their heads. And that means to concede defeat. That's I'm not reading into it. That's the shot. Amrin mibad kinan of chatzman. The Romans tired and they said one last time, right, that to try to defeat the two brothers. Menafkin Pogabe Chatzav. The person left from this place, an old man, Amalon Brechan Seudinchon. Right? The old man told them that Hashem is your siyua, Hashem is your bracha, Hashem is your sa'ad. Your Seudah comes from it. Amalo Yisod, Velo Yismoch. Alo Atorah Lukim Znachton. That possibly, like we read last week. This is trying to piggyback on to Bar Kokhba. Remember I said Bar Kokhba said that God don't help us and don't hurt us.
Yes.
Right? Because there's a Pasuk Necha that says that God was fighting against us. Yirmiyahu said that to Tzidkiyahu. Not only is God not going to help you, God is helping the Babylonians. You should surrender. So when the brothers told this old man, we don't want God's help and we don't want God to hurt us. So that was it. In other words, Bar Kokhba's treachery in turning away from God was replicated in this story as well. Shnei Arazim. Now, the Talmud Gemara now gives 10 examples of what was lost as a result of this indicator. Okay? We're going to read 10 things that were lost. Right? I'm going to read them one by one. Okay, so stay with me. Right? It's not clear in every case what exactly is being referenced, right? Because there is between all of them, it's about 60 plus years. So it could be from the Churban Beis Hamikdash all the way up to Rabbi Beitar, when 60 is just rounded off. Close to 70, but okay. Shnei Arazim hayu bahar ha-mishkat, tachas echad mehen hayu mochrin arba chaniyos toros, ואחד היו מוציאים ממנו ארבעים סל גוזלוס בכל חודש וחודש. ומהן הם מספיקים פינים לכל ישראל. There were two stalls where they sold a tremendous amount of birds. Now, who needs birds? A mitzvah needs birds. Ziva, usually something like some kind of like the venereal diseases that are cured, they have to bring a bird afterwards. Zav and Zava. But the most common reason for birds is for giving birth. In other words, it's saying that there's a lot of birth, a lot of young children all around, and that now there's no more. Okay? This must be before the Churban Beis Hamikdash, because after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, there's no need for birds, there's no korbanos. To a Shimon, Habimafik Tlas Mamin, the Garvin, the Mirukua, the Kaita, called Arvos Shuva, Vulamacharab, Ishuli, the Has no situation in the Sakin the Kadur. Very, very little famous little piece of Gemara here. This is the longest one that I treat. Is that it speaks of the distribution of bread to the poor in this place. Garban means like shredded bread. They had so many tables of bread and they were so charitable. So why was it destroyed? So some say because of Znus. Echaraba rejects this as a reason. So there's only one person engaged in Znus, and she was expelled. The reason in Echa Rabba is the second reason here, because they played ball. Sachakim Kadur. What? Who hasn't played ball? All the summer camps have had the people play ball. The Laguna camps, the boys played baseball. Yeah. Played football, threw around the ball. So some say they play ball on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, right? I'm sorry, not that Zayin, it was in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in Shin Ches, Halacha Kuf Nun Zayin. Mishnah Berurah Os Kuf Nun Zayin. The ball is Mokza. And if it's the Mishus Rabin, it's Kari. But the Be'er HaGro disagrees. The Be'er HaGro thinks the ball is a Kli. then the sin must be that they claim Moshe is a rabbi. Okay. Rukeach, Rukh Shabbos says that they played ball on Shabbos instead of attending Shir. In other words, they were older people, adults. Children is one thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so just saying that. It's fascinating as you see in some Mephoshim that since Shabbos isn't mentioned here, it's that they were always playing ball all week. They had ball games all day, all week, and they removed them from other things. All right, I'm just saying that this is what's okay. The third thing. Aseret Elefim Ayerotu Bahar Melech, but Lozer Ben Charsim Elef Kulam. Connect the Melech Sphinos beyond the Kulam Chorofim. 10,000 cities, 10,000 ships. This is Lozer Ben Charsim, as mentioned in the Talmud Bav, it's someone very rich, who still, even though he was so rich, he still walked to the base of Medrash, and he learned all the time. He's the one who answers for anybody who doesn't learn. Because, well, I was too busy with my ships and my businesses. Because you have to delegate it and learn yourself. Anyway, but they were all destroyed. Shalosh Ayarosi, three cities, right? These are the tax ledgers of these cities that had to be brought in wagons because there was so much commerce. Okay? Katsumum Shalahan, Olam Yishlan Bagol. It's so many years. That means there was a lot of commerce there. Kabul Shichan and Migdal Sfarim, these are the names of three cities. Shlashon Chorbu, Kabul Biyam Chlokes, Shichan and Big Shafin, and Migdal Sfarim and Nazmus. One because of disputes, strife, one because of witchcraft, and one because of sexual promiscuity. The fifth case, Shlosha Kfarim, Kolacha Be'echad Ayabon Tzik, Kifayim Kiyot Mitzrayim, three villages, each one with more than 1,200,000 people. Karbish Ukfar Shikhlai or Kfar Dikhrai, these are the three names. Alamahu Karimu Karbish, Lohavim Kavim La'avura. These are three cities that had a minimum of 1.2 million people. And they called it Karbish because they didn't accept guests. Shikhlai means they raised children like cress, supported them by selling cress. What is cress? It's like you want cress, yeah. Mostly boys were born there. You know how to schad on your own, not from being tamang, not on yourself. I can't wrap my hands around what it means that no girls were born there. Okay, the sixth one is Zemar Yochud, Shmonim Zugim Achim Kohanim. This story is actually hinted at in the Talmud Bavli, in the seventh paragraph. 80 pairs of brothers who were Kohanim married to sisters who were the daughters of Kohanim in one night. These are only Kohanim. Right? In the Talmud Bavli in Brachos, the Gemara says that they looked for such examples, they couldn't find it. They only found two brothers who married two sisters, and the brothers were Kohanim. The girls were sons of the daughters of Kohanim, but the sons were not. But it's okay. Shami has these, a lot of these are exaggerations. The eighth one, Umar Chia Barba, Shmonim Chaniyo Shamoch Ritaro, so you look for it. This one is also before the base of the Mikdash was destroyed. 80 stores to purchase Taharos, also before the Mikdash. Taharos is things you need to bring along with the Korah. Wine, grain, oil. Number 80 shows up a lot here. Right? Four in a row, the number 80. 80 metal wagons. Selling metal wagons. to prevent from tumor. Tumor should extend to that.
Mm-hmm.
Wet metal is a very good conductor of tumor, but not from what's inside of it. That's why the Gemara speaks about the boys who were raised to work on the Paraduma, that there was a metal daf, metal that would interpose to the children who were on top of it. They could work on the Paraduma. We don't have them today because we don't have the standard anymore. The smallest of all the Mishmaros had 85,000 Kumar. 85,000 young Kumar. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's sort of a tangent, still with the number 80, a similar amount of young Kohanim where these things happen to them. Okay, I think that we are going to have to extend this to Mount of Lee.
I have a hard time following.
Oh, yeah, it's small print. And it's, okay. All right, so we're going to continue from here, and we will we'll maybe have to finish on Tisha B'Av itself. Not a whole lot more. Okay, we'll make all right. Not for the first, I think we'll finish.